State governments are feeling under the weather again, cutting programs that had been propped up by the president's stimulus act that is winding down this fiscal year. And as if the states didn't have it bad enough, the Obama administration is now beating up on them, saying they're not creating health insurance exchanges under Obamacare fast enough for the feds. Could the federal government take over, making Obamacare de facto universal health care? To my freedom fighters, Fox Business senior correspondent and my buddy Charlie Gasparino, Lynn Paramore, Roosevelt Institute fellow, and Reason magazine editor-in-chief Matt Welsh. Matt, am I crazy to suggest that maybe the people that wrote Obamacare imposed a burden on the states that they knew the states couldn't meet, crafted it in such a way that it might be cheaper for corporations to let the government handle this, all because they secretly they want a one-payer system, and they want that one-payer to be the federal government.
You're not crazy. You're maybe a little bit paranoid. I think the story here is more that they came up with a system that they knew was unrealistic deadline-wise and price-wise, but they had to get it so that they could game the Congressional Budget Office scoring to make it seem like it all came in under $1 trillion. It was a lie then, and it's a lie now, and this is just the latest in a string of examples of why that has turned out to not be true.
Here's what Health and Human Services has said to governors of states. Set up the exchange. Raise taxes. Use the tax dollars that you've raised to operate these health insurance exchanges. If you don't do it, we'll do it for you, and we will take a credit on the money we're going to pay you. Now, isn't that taking sovereignty, independence away from the state legislatures? Isn't that the Congress virtually commandeering the states and telling them how to run their own governments, Lynn Paramore, in the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt himself?
To me, the key issue here is, what is wrong with exchanges? Why are conservatives afraid of them? This is about market competition. This is about giving big, small businesses and ordinary people a chance for fair prices. And why are they so against it? The only reason the states don't have the exchanges set up is because the Republican governors and legislatures have blocked it every step of the way.
The states don't have the money. But how does Wall Street look at this? Does Wall Street say, why should we pay for the health care of our employees when the states are going to set up these exchanges?
I mean, any rational corporation will think that. And that's why you'll see most of the people go to those exchanges, which is essentially government health care. You know, it is sort of interesting to sort of how you laid out this story, because I tend to agree with you. I think this was a sort of, they were gaming the system. They were pushing this through because they realized that, listen, the states can't really afford this, that this is one way to get nationalized health care.
Matt, the states are receiving in the next fiscal year, the one that starts this October 1st, $66 billion fewer dollars in federal aid, that's all 50 of them, than they received in the last fiscal year. Now, something's got to give there. Isn't it logical to think it will be these new health insurance exchanges, which have to be set up in 2013, have to be approved in 2013, but don't start kicking in until 2014?
Yes, it's logical, and it's also because the rules of these exchanges have been murky from the beginning. But here's a number. When the good times, from 2002 to 2007, states, on average, increased spending by 80%. 80. Now that the bad times hit, the Obama administration has kicked the can down the road by giving them basically an extra credit card. The credit card's coming back now, and everybody's squawking. This is the battle lines on it, but the overall picture is that states have gone on a spending binge, and they keep asking for more bailouts from Washington.
Okay. Speculation is building that Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner may have finally had his fill serving at the helm of the Obama administration's embattled economic team. Some say he's preparing to resign after the debt cap deal is reached, if in fact the deal is reached. Charlie, you report on this about a month ago. Well, that is he going or is he staying?
I know he wants to go. At least that's what he's told his buddies on Wall Street. And this guy has pretty tremendous support from not from average investors, the investing public, who most people think he's incompetent in that sort of realm, but from the CEOs of the big firms. They love him because this is the guy that has been, let's face it, he's been their best friend. He's been an economic bureaucrat for the last 10 years at the New York Fed, and he's bailed them out. So they like him. He's the one that they're talking to. But I will say this, you know, if you look at his record, he should go. He's been in a he's been horrible in terms of his record. He inherited a bad crisis. He made it a lot worse. But I will say this: you never know who you're going to get next. Well, I mean, for all I know, we're going to get William Ayers in there.
Well, all right, Matt, what do you think? Is he just doing the president's bidding? Does the president need a lefty in there, a sort of FDR style? We can plan the economy from Washington D.C. I mean, you're certainly not going to get a Ron Paul running the Treasury Department out of a Barack Obama, are you?
I agree with Charlie. He should go. I mean, he lied to us. He said that, you know, they turned the economy around back in June 2009. And I also agree with you, Judge. It kind of doesn't matter who that is.
Right.
Because ultimately it's the president and his party. And right now, the president and his party are economically much to the left of Jimmy Carter was in the 1970s. We've really taken a whole new kind of realm than we did from the Clinton era of Democrats who sort of had a better understanding of market economics.
Lynn, are we being unfair? Are we sort of dumping on Tim Geithner's personality? Or was he given a bed of roses, that's really a bed of thorns?
Well, I'll tell you, I think this is a magical moment because I think we all agree here. I am not a fan of the job that Tim Geithner has done. He has a record of high bank profits and high unemployment. That's his legacy. Now, I would be in favor of somebody who would be a real regulator, maybe somebody like Sheila Bair, who actually has the interest of ordinary Americans.
Regulation is not what is causing more. If you have more regulation, we're going to have even higher unemployment. I don't think that's Tim Geithner's. Jamie Dimon, the biggest Wall Street liberal in the world, the lack of regulation got us into pretty hot water.
I would just say
the financial crisis was caused not by George Bush, but by many years of housing plan. But here's the thing, Judge Tim Geithner. If you just look at his record, okay. It's not one of regulation. It's basically one of carrying out Barack Obama's absurd economic agenda. And you know what kills me about this guy is everybody on Wall Street tells me he's such a moderate. Well, why doesn't he step up to the plate whenever Barack Obama calls a guy making $250,000 a year with a family of four, a millionaire and billionaire? Why does he sit there and say that's absurd, Mr. President?
That doesn't make sense. All right, Matt Welsh, Lynn Paramore, Charlie Gasparino. It's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Back in a moment with presidents who break the law and get away with it.